Morning.
We have two readings this morning. The first one is taken from John chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. Jesus prays for himself. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And our second reading is taken from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy word, and to him be all glory and praise. Amen.
Let us pray. We have come this morning, O God, to worship and to glorify you. The glory is all yours. But we have also come to hear from you. We need to know what you have in store for our lives. We live in a difficult world, but we know that if we are obedient to you, if we read your word, if we hear you, then we are able to cope day by day. And so this morning, Lord, we ask that you help us open our hearts to hear what you have prepared in John, for us to listen to, for us to take into our hearts, and for us to use in our daily lives. Bless us all as we hear and as we are spoken to, in the blessed name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. We will stand and sing, Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, be not me save that thou art. Thou my best thought in the day and the night, Walking and sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. Thou ever with me, and I with thee, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Be thou my breastplate, my sword for the fight. Thou my whole armor, be thou my true might. Thou my soul's shelter, be thou my strong tower. Raise thou me heavenward, great power of my power. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, the first in my heart. Sovereign of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, thou heaven's bright sun, grant me its joys after victory is won. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, be thou my vision, O ruler of all. Please be seated.
Good morning again, and welcome to our service. Welcome to those who are visiting, regular 10:30 attenders, especially a welcome to those who normally worship with us at Epsom at 9 o'clock. I suppose many of our Epsom friends have been here with us before, but for some of you this may be a new experience, and so welcome. Welcome to the service here. It's great to have visitors with us today. And you will have picked up as the service has gone through that this is a special service for us, coming together, celebrating, being as one congregation in this service, combining for this monthly service. But if you're visiting today because you're here on holiday, we hope that you feel spiritually refreshed, spiritually renewed by your time with us. And if you're visiting today because you've just begun to think about Christianity in a fresh and new way, and you thought, I'll come to church and see what that's like and see if that makes any sense to me, well, then you have chosen a great day to come and join us today, because today we're thinking about knowing Jesus. And if you're thinking about knowing Jesus, couldn't be any better, really, could it? So welcome. This morning, we're thinking about what it means to know Jesus. And some of you may know who this is. This is
Kevin Bacon.
Thank you. So that's Kevin Bacon. So back in the mid-90s, Kevin Bacon said, I have worked with just about everyone there is in Hollywood. And so that got some students, I think in Philadelphia, thinking, I wonder how we can connect the six steps of separation with Kevin Bacon. Some of you familiar with the six steps of separation? Have any of you thought about how you relate, how you connect with Kevin Bacon? Let me tell you how it works for me. I know my daughter Jennifer. My daughter Jennifer's sister-in-law, Helen, works at Weta Workshops. She knows Peter Jackson. Peter Jackson knows nearly everyone in Hollywood, many of whom have worked with Kevin Bacon. And so through that little sort of working through, now you may not ever have thought about this before, but you know me. And I know Jennifer, and Jennifer knows Helen, Helen knows Peter, Peter knows people in Hollywood who know Kevin Bacon, and you can work this through. And this idea of 6 degrees of separation means that through a friend of a friend of a friend, we could almost be connected to anyone on earth in very short jumps. But the thing is this, if Kevin Bacon happened to be, and he's not here, is he? He doesn't like the 6 degrees of separation. This sort of bothered him for a while. But if he happened to be in Auckland, and he was walking down the street and I was coming towards him, he wouldn't go, John, it's so good to see you after all that 6 degrees of separation. There you are. Because he doesn't really know me. And really, I don't know him. I don't know what he likes to eat for breakfast. I don't know, I don't know the color of his eyes. I suppose I could work that out by looking at the photograph. There's so much about him that I don't know, and he doesn't know anything about me. But when we talk about knowing Jesus, we're not talking about knowledge in this sort of distant and separated way. When we're talking about knowing Jesus, we're talking about this intimate, one-to-one, knowing each other. Someone has said, God doesn't have any grandchildren. God just has children. And we have this really close and intimate relationship with him. Think about this for a moment from the perspective of the scriptures, because we don't need to go through an intermediary to be connected with Jesus. Jesus invites us to know him. So think for a moment. How would you define eternal life? You don't have to say anything. I just want you to think about it in your mind for a moment. How would you define eternal life? So some people would perhaps say it's being with God throughout eternity. It's an abundance of wonderful life in the presence of God. And there are many ways that you might try to express what eternal life is. The Bible gives us this definition. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And this is a really interesting verse, and we could think about the way that it uses God's name and Jesus' name in the same verse, in this sort of way that it equates them. But today we're thinking about knowing Jesus. And one of the reasons why it's important to know Jesus is because knowing Jesus is eternal life. That's what eternal life is, to know Jesus, who God sent to be among us. Later in his life, the Apostle John continued to teach on how eternal life was linked to Jesus. And in one of his letters, he said this, God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so to have the Son, to know Jesus, to have this relationship with Jesus is to have eternal life. Eternal life is found in Jesus. Eternity, eternal life, and Jesus are so closely linked, you simply cannot have one without the other. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. If you have eternal life, it is through Jesus. There is no other way by which we can be saved. It is through Jesus Christ that we have eternal life. And so when we know Jesus, we have this eternal life. That's why it is so important to know Jesus. And we have this as our mission statement, to know and to follow Jesus. And today we're thinking about that first bit, to know Jesus, to help people know Jesus, for us to know Jesus, for us to be helping people in our community to know Jesus. And we find also that eternal life is not simply the length of years, but the quality of relationship. In another verse, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So when Jesus is speaking about eternal life, it's not simply in terms of the years or the time, it's in terms of the quality of that time. Occasionally people say after the first 1,000 years or maybe 1,000,000 years, eternity might start to get a little bit boring. And if you were to think about it as simply being earthly time or earthly quality of time, then I suppose you would be right. It would start to get boring. But when we speak of eternal life, we're speaking of a relationship with Jesus. A close and intimate relationship with Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is a quality of relationship and an abundance of life that enriches every moment beyond human experience and understanding, so that wonderfully a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And moment by moment, this knowing Jesus is so fulfilling in our lives now and as we step into eternity with him. The Apostle Paul knew Jesus very well, even though by the time the Apostle Paul came to faith, Jesus had died and risen. And some of you may be aware of the phrase, or you might say someone had a Damascus Road experience. And that comes from the scriptures. Because it was on the Damascus Road that Jesus had Paul had an experience of Jesus, whereby Paul was on his way to persecute Christians, to arrest them, to take them into captivity, and perhaps even to put some of them to death. But on this Damascus Road experience, he was turned around by Jesus. He became a faithful follower of Jesus. He started reading the Old Testament to understand more of what it said about Jesus. He went to see the original disciples and the apostles and to understand about Jesus. He studied and he prayed and he lived through a Christian life so that he was able to write about Jesus and knowing Jesus. In his time, in his day and age, you could perhaps say there was no one who knew Jesus better. And yet Paul also went on to say, I want to know Christ. I want to know him. Because as much as we know, as much as we think we understand, there is so much more to know about Jesus. This is what I find so wonderfully enriching about my Christian life. Today, I learn something new, deeper into relationship with Christ. And tomorrow, it's going to get better. Tomorrow, there is more to know and more to understand. And through eternity, that will be the same. As much as Paul knew about Jesus, he wanted to know him more and understand more about him. And the truth is that after you or I have spent 1,000 years in heaven getting to know Jesus, there is so much more for us to know and to be able to understand. After knowing Jesus for 3 short years of his earthly ministry, the Apostle John concluded his gospel book by saying, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. You see, John understood that from 3 short years of ministry with Jesus, you could fill the world with books about Jesus and what he did and what he said. Imagine an eternity with Jesus and how much more there is to know. And that in eternity, we could fill eternity with books that could be written about Jesus. There is so much more for us to know. Friends, as much as you know already, be assured there is more to know of Jesus. There is a deeper relationship to enter into with him. We can know Jesus and have this close relationship, but there is so much more to know. Well, on Wednesday, I listened to an interview with Cardinal Christoph Schoenbrunn, and he said something that really resonated with me. Let me just say to you, what I'm listening to at the moment and watching on Holy Trinity Brompton website, among the videos that they have, they've just had a leadership weekend, and they've got about 32 different leadership talks, and some of them on video. And the cardinal was one of them. And he said this in what he was talking about. The Lord Jesus has many friends. And he wants new friends. Something about that resonated with my heart. The Lord Jesus has many friends. And he wants new friends. The cardinal was picking up on the saying of Jesus to his disciples, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Just think for a moment what that means. I've called you friends. And Jesus wants new friends. Friendship helps us to define the nature of the relationship that we have with Jesus. It doesn't completely define it, but it gives us some wonderful insights into what it means to know Jesus and to walk with Jesus. You see, it's not a distant relationship where we know him from afar, as we might say, with those 6 degrees of separation. It's not that we get little tidbits of information about him from some sort of gossip magazine or some photos taken by a long-distance lens by unwelcome paparazzi. The relationship that we have with Jesus is one of friendship, where he takes the initiative to reach out and befriend us and to call us his friends. One day before the throne of God, Jesus is going to say, Father, I would like to introduce you to my friend John. Father, I'd like to introduce you to my friend Diana. Father, I would like to introduce you to my friend Ian. This may sound a little bit strange, but this is one of these insert your name here moments. Father, I would like to introduce you to my friend. And we'll be there with our Lord, with our God. Now, I don't know if they have photos in eternity, but if they do, you will be in the frame. Arm in arm with Jesus, friends together. Take it home to your heavenly mansion and put it on your heavenly mantelpiece. You and Jesus together, friends. And so this phrase, Jesus has many friends and he wants new friends, has been playing on my mind. And it struck me that in one sense we could define evangelism as making friends for Jesus. Don't you want to make some friends for Jesus? I have this friend called Jesus. I want to introduce you to him, that you also may be his friend. Well, let's take a moment to think about this in the light of our church today. Our mission is to help people know and to follow Jesus. And today, we're focusing on the sense of knowing Jesus. What do we mean by that? It means helping them into a relationship where we know Jesus as Savior, the forgiver of sins, the giver of eternal life, where we know Jesus as Lord, the ruler of eternal life. And we see in this that eternal life has a context. It's not a meaningless existence drifting through time. It's not being absorbed into an impersonal life force, some sort of abstract state of being. Eternal life is knowing Jesus, this one who has called you friend. It's knowing Jesus, having this abundant life in which we keep growing in our relationship with him, knowing him more and more and more. Now, there was an advert recently in the Herald, and someone very kindly tidied that up for me this morning. And it said this. I'll read it to you. Searching for the next of kin of Patrick Whelan. Would any person having knowledge of the next of kin of the above-named deceased, in particular the whereabouts of relations of Morris Downing and John Downing, who immigrated to New Zealand in or around 1930, contact John Keane, Solicitors, Cork in Ireland. Now, I might be quite wrong, but when I read that, I thought, this sounds like an inheritance. And maybe they're looking for the heirs of an estate, thousands of pounds, maybe a stately home, maybe a nice house in the Mediterranean, or a nice yacht that's out there somewhere. Now, it's not me. I'm not related. Ron doesn't have an Irish accent. I know it's not him. If it's one of you, all I ask is that you remember where you heard this first. They're reaching out because there's an inheritance to have. And it reminded me of the great eternal inheritance kept safe in heaven for Jesus' friends. And Jesus, the heir to all things, wants to share this inheritance with his friends, his brothers and sisters, and the family of faith. And God is searching for these heirs. And he didn't simply take out an advert in the newspaper. He sent prophets to tell of this. He inspired the writing of the Old and the New Testament to advertise it. He sent missionaries and preachers and teachers and Sunday school leaders to proclaim it. He has sent godly parents and godly friends with this news. He sent his only son Jesus to reveal the truth of it, the wondrous truth that we could also be heirs with Christ. And he wants us to know that relationship with Jesus and to enjoy this inheritance throughout eternity. Now, sadly, Patrick Whelan couldn't take his wealth with him. And it's left to others who may be able to enjoy it only if they know about it and only for this lifetime. But Jesus has an inheritance for us that is eternal, kept safe in heaven, a treasure that is there for eternity, a treasure that is worth more than earthly wealth. And this so strongly underlines how much Jesus wants us to know him and for others to be able to know him. Well, I want to take a turn just for a moment and talk about some numbers. Firstly, the number one. And Jesus taught about this. There was a shepherd with 100 sheep and one went missing. And the shepherd left the 99 and he went to look for the one. And perhaps today you are that one he is looking for. Perhaps you are the one that Jesus wants as a friend. Perhaps you are the one that he wants to know him. And whenever we in the church speak about numbers, we always remember the importance of every one. This one is a person. This one is a soul. This one Jesus wants for a friend. And as we come towards this amalgamation and thinking about it, talking about it together, the parish teams and parish elders have begun thinking about what would it mean for our church to grow and achieve our mission of helping people to know Jesus. That implies that we're going to help people put their faith in Jesus and that they're going to come to Jesus in faith and find eternal life. And we're prayerfully thinking about growing to an adult attendance in our churches of about 350 people on a morning. Oh, I didn't put that up there. You can remember 350. That's 350 ones, as we did this morning. 350 people in eternity. 350 people to know Jesus. 350 souls saved. 350 people whose lives are enriched by knowing the Savior. You know, it's estimated without population growth, just people moving in and out of the district over the next 5 years, 6,200 people will move into Epsom and Mount Eden. What if we could make contact with even just a few of those 6,200 people and we could help them to come to know Christ? It's estimated by the year 2040, an additional 1 million people will be living in Auckland. Some of them will come and live in our suburbs. They may be our new neighbours. They may be the new family at kindy or school. They may be the new person in the office or the workshop. This is a huge mission field that is opening before us, not to mention the 1.5 million who already live here in the city. Jesus wants some new friends. Jesus wants some new friends. In the people around us and the people moving into our city, Jesus wants some new friends. Don't get me wrong, he's not sick of the old ones. He doesn't want to sort of put you aside in any way, but he wants to draw us all in. He wants new friends. Well, perhaps when I mention that number, 350 in 5 years, that may seem to you like a big number. But even if we were able to reach only a small percentage of the population that's growing in Auckland, this needs to drive us to our knees. This needs to cause us to lean on Jesus and to understand it all depends on him. We're not going to reach this number or any other number if our prayer meetings are sparse and few attend. And if our home groups don't engage in prayer, and if our leaders don't wrestle in prayer, and if we as a church generally neglect prayer, we're not going to be able to do this. And prayer doesn't guarantee growth, but I can guarantee without prayer, it's not going to happen. And I want to be clear, when we have our discussion over lunch about the amalgamation, we're not talking about shuffling some chairs on the deck of the Titanic. We're not talking about making some small, desperate changes just to hold things together for another few years. When I arrived here to minister, the Lord gave me a vision. He said, we are a ship set sail, and that's what we are. We have a mission. We have a direction. We hear and respond to the calling of the Lord. We have already seen the beginnings, the first fruits of new things in the turning around. This is what we are here to do, not to preserve a church, but to renew and refresh and revive and to help Jesus make new friends and new friends to meet Jesus. This is what we are called to. Friend, if you are a friend of Jesus, you are invited to help us. Moreover, you have a spiritual obligation to help us. I'm not telling you to do this. Jesus commands it in the Great Commission. And if you know Jesus, you know in your heart he wants new friends. And the way to be involved in this is firstly to know Jesus yourself. We know the safety procedure. If you're a parent on an aircraft and the oxygen mask fall down, see to yourself before your child. And we need to see to ourselves so that we indeed know Jesus. So I ask you, do you know Jesus? Not just about him, not with 6 degrees of separation, but do you know him as your friend?